Wait a minute, what am I doing? Two men in a what? Two friends from film school, one who graduated, one who did, and they decided to make a podcast. Okay, this has never been done before, right? Okay. This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.
Now, if the second one's, like, genuinely really good, I'll be so excited.
Would you kiss Chiquita, or whatever her name is?
The duck?
Yeah, the duck.
She's a child.
But if she wasn't a child, she's just a robot killer. It's a haunted animatronic duck. She wants to know you carnally. Do you accept?
I'm giving this zero thought. Immediate thoughts. I don't know how that would work. I have no real desire.
She can give you a handy.
Oh my
God. She might have a vagina. We don't know.
So, okay. I don't know.
The dude was a creeper who killed children. You say he's not putting a vagina in his duck costume?
Well, you know what? I was going to entertain this for a little while, and then you ruined it.
I'd fuck the duck, dude.
Yeah.
Five nights at Freddy's, more like five nights at fucking fuckies.
Just five nights at fuckies?
five nights at fuckies.
Or fuck nights at Freddy's?
Fuck nights at Freddy's. One of those is the porn. One of those is the fucking porn parody. 100%.
Yeah, what would the porn parody? I mean, yeah. Okay. Look, see, I don't actually want to know.
I'm going to look up.
Like, I want to know, in theory, can you still use expletives for, like, high-level produced porn parodies in
titles?
Yeah,
yeah. And the costumes in it, the SpongeBob one's horrific. I'm not sure if you've seen it.
No.
Oh, man. There's also one, it wasn't a porn, it might have been a porn, I think it was a Jurassic Park one, but they had the woman, like, was a raptor, a sexy raptor lady, and they painted her blue, and she had, like, a tail.
No, the only two that I have seen in life are the Pokemon one that I turned off almost right away, and the Avengers one, which is just there's like almost half a plot.
It's
fascinating. Like, it's like a movie is actually happening, and then just randomly it'll turn into like an 8-minute sex scene, and then the movie resumes.
It doesn't look like there's an official one, but someone did make an animated one, which I guess we can use for the naming discussion, which is Five Nights at Fuckfest. So I think putting fuck with Freddy is what you want to do.
Okay.
When you're fucking the duck. Her cold metal hands covered in child blood. Just stroking your fat fucking cock. Welcome to the Two Men in a Movie podcast, where each week one man shows another man a movie he can't believe he hasn't seen. As always, I'm your down to clown with literally anything, as long as it's a woman, Matthew Olenchek, joined by my more discerning work husband, Harrison Poole. How are you doing?
I'm honestly doing a lot better now.
I gotta show you the SpongeBob.
Do you really?
I'm thinking fine with this cock out.
What?
Look at him.
He's just a dude in a styrofoam sponge costume.
He can't even reach it, dude. He can't even fucking reach.
Are you happy now?
Yeah, he's got to get the raw end of that deal. Can you imagine showing up and you're like, fine, a paycheck's a paycheck. And they paint you yellow. They put you in a big styrofoam costume. And then this fucking bitch comes out with a glass dome on her head and just wearing clothes. And he's like, it's Sandy. Black Sandy, as she should be. Sandy's black coated.
Yeah, but no, I brought the movie this week. I brought a little parody movie called UHF, starring a Mr. Alfred Matthew Yankovic.
I like his old look so much better. Something about the glasses and the mustache do it for me.
Sure, yeah, I understand that. It feels more like a child trying to be a kid. Or no, you know it, a child trying to be an adult.
I'm
as opposed
sure
to now where he just looks like an adult.
He just looks like a guy with long hair. It's not as a distinct, like, a visual identity there.
Okay, fair enough.
You know, like, I look at that, I'm like, ah. I'm going to get my one major complaint of this movie out of the way.
Uh-huh.
Not enough Pam.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say
not
that.
Not enough Pam.
And honestly, I hard agree.
Ooga, what a woman.
Not like that, but I hard agree. Like, not in a horny way, just like
some so, you know,
Fran Drescher rips, and she's great in this movie.
Just one of my favorite things in cinema is Italian New Jersey women.
I am aware. And it's one of your favorite things in life.
In life, yeah. Yeah. I was talking about how I don't think I have high standards with my hairdresser today. I'm like, look, they just need to be interesting, maybe be able to take me a fight. And if they're like Italian from New Jersey, that's a bonus. But it's not like a requirement. It'd be nice.
This movie is a parody movie where Weird Al gets the contract to...
He gets hired.
Weird Al's uncle wins the deed to a UHF station in a poker game, and then hires Weird Al to be the manager. Weird Al plays George, who's like a down on his luck, can't keep a job, like has high aspirations, but no idea how to get them. Just like kind of loserish dude.
Too much imagination, which I think is code word for ADHD.
And cocaine.
And cocaine.
Though I don't think, I think Weird Al's a teetotaler, so it actually might not be cocaine.
I think he's just high on life, dude.
I mean, hell yeah.
He's just fucking a vibing.
So, Weird Al, I'm gonna forget his name is George so many times because I'm grasping
George
Newman.
Newman.
But Weird Al,
another Seinfeld connection that doesn't actually exist.
Right.
There's a guy in here. He plays Stanley
Spadowski.
A good. I love a good Polish name.
Yes.
And like any Polish, he's the star of the show. Yeah. He's the most capable person there. And like when I first saw him, I thought it was Kramer.
I do every time.
At several times during the movie, I was like, "Am I sure this isn't Kramer?"
I get whiplash. I've seen this movie 2 or 3 times now. I get whiplash every time.
He Kramers into his first scene. He Kramers into it.
He does. Also, he's playing weird, not playing like disabled.
Yeah, I don't
like,
think
he's playing like socially inept, but he's not playing.
I don't think he's like the smartest guy.
No, but like,
he's a simple man, but he's not disabled. He's just a simple, wacky fella.
Yeah. And I am not going to say that this movie is not without its fault stereotype-wise. It was made in the 80s. I want to say it's 89. There, every Asian person in this movie is a black belt in martial arts.
I'm going to do a hot take here. Uh-huh. It's my hot take for the week.
Yeah.
I think a stereotype, if the person's doing it, is of the race.
You know?
Fine. Because they sign on, they're like, yeah, I'll do this. Who are we to judge? I mean, like, Michael Rooney in Breakfast at Tiffany's, bad.
Mickey Rooney?
Yeah, if that was an Asian guy playing it, 100% fine.
I think the thing here is they are stereotypes, but they're also like the most badass characters.
Yeah,
they're capable characters.
It's not
who like run an enterprise.
It's not like malicious or even really played for laughs.
It's mostly that all of them all of them are weirdly good at martial arts.
Well, they're all part of a karate studio.
Right. And
they
play into the accent.
They have Yeah, it's not really like a big thing. Yeah. Really.
And the Mexican man, I forget his name off the top of my head, and I feel really bad about it.
Oh, he just has like a Mexican accent that's slightly played up.
Yeah, that's...
It sounds like a guy whose parents were from Mexico doing a half-remembered impression of his parents.
Yeah, I'm going to say that these are dated stereotypes. However, I do think they age better than 99%
imagine
from this area.
I mean, because most of, I mean, really, it just says he's Mexican.
Yeah.
There's nothing else to it. There's not even like another stereotype. He's just the heavy Mexican accent and heavy Asian accent. And, you know, and karate was less spread in the 80s. So I think that you would find less white dojo people.
Yeah. So basically this movie is a series of film parodies. Like, it opens up with an Indiana Jones parody that has nothing to do with the rest of the movie. It's just a daydream while he's fry cooking.
I think it's the weakest point of the movie. That's my hot take on this movie.
You think the beginning's the weakest point?
I think that the movie parodies are, except for the Rambo one, which serves a plot purpose.
That is a hot take. It's not necessarily one I disagree with. I first saw this movie the beginning of last year, and I remember it when I brought it to the pod, I remembered it being way more focused than it was. With that being said, I still love this movie, but I remembered like all of the film parodies having some level of relevance, and really only like three of them do.
Yeah, they're like I think I was texting this, but I like the movie a lot when it's more focusing on the actual quote-unquote real world hijinks.
You can cut the Beverly Hillbillies one without
This is a weird like song segue that's like not even like a movie parody. Just halfway through he does like a song about the Beverly Hillbillies, and it serves like the first one.
It's a dream,
the,
I guess
the first one. I think it's weak. I think you could cut it. I get it. I think it should be shorter, but it's kind of showing how he's never paying attention.
Yeah, I like the first one a lot. I don't necessarily disagree that you can like shorten it. I like the Indiana Jones parody.
I like
a lot.
The arm getting whipped off. That's about all that I really remember liking from it.
I like the like 200 signs of not this way, stop.
See, they didn't do it for me.
Nah, that made
I thought
me
I was like, eh.
Nah, I'm just gonna be like, this is fun.
Because the Rambo works. The Rambo's plot relevant. It moves the plot forward.
The Rambo works. The Gone with the Wind at the end works.
It's what, yeah, that works too. It the Rambo one everyone remembers. That's always like the big scene. Whenever UHF, they usually show a clip from the Rambo thing.
Yeah, they'll do Rambo and Indiana Jones.
However, that won't be ours for our Instagram. It will be a picture of Pam.
Hell yeah. Do you like The Nanny?
I've never seen The Nanny.
You should watch it.
Get Too Hard.
I mean...
Is she New Jersey in it?
Yeah, she's very New York Italian.
Yeah, I'm not sure I get through it. Jacking
it
too hard.
She plays up the voice a lot.
I'd be jacking it too hard.
She plays up the voice to an absurd degree. Like, UHF is just kind of her natural voice. The Nanny is like, what if I do my... What if I Mexican Manning UHF... my Fran Drescher voice.
That'll be sheen too much fucking rope, dude. It's like my cousin Vinny. It's very hard to get through.
You know, I've never seen my cousin Vinny.
I'm bringing it on the pod.
I've seen clips of it, and it's one of those that I think I've probably seen all of it. I have never sat down and watched it, but it
has been on TV. One of the most legally accurate movies.
Yeah?
Yeah, a lot of lawyers praise it for being, not necessarily like everything's 100% legally accurate, but it shows like how the legal process goes pretty well compared to a lot of stuff. And it has the hottest woman in cinema.
This is a movie that I would love to see remade. I don't want to see a lot of movies remade. I want to see this movie remade or a Lego sequel. I just want to know how they would parody.
Florence Pugh could play Pam.
Yes, she could.
Daniel Radcliffe plays Weird Al's character.
I'm fine with that.
The guy that plays Foggy from Daredevil can play his friend.
I was thinking Wyatt Russell. So
Wyatt Russell worked too.
We were in the same realm.
I will say the one criticism of the movie is that they do kind of lose the side characters towards the end.
I think that's just the upsetting part of this being a 95-minute movie.
Yeah.
Is that they kind of just needed it.
Like, I like the engineer. I like his cool confidence.
Who plays... spoiler, he's an alien. Who plays the alien? Christopher Lloyd.
It's a Christopher Lloyd. I was going to... Because he's not that old. I was going to go with the guy that plays... Oh, what's his fucking name? He plays Dwight in The
Rain
Office.
Wilson?
Yeah. He has the kind of flat attitude.
Sure.
That's what really makes the character. It's just his calm execution of everything he does. Just the when he hijacks the radio thing, how he's just sitting there. He watches. He goes, doop, doop. Does it. Done.
I want J.K. Simmons to play the head, R.J. Fletcher Jr., and I want him to J. Jonah Jameson the shit out of that
100%.
Role. Like, if I were the director, I truly would just be, do J. Jonah Jameson.
Who plays not Kramer?
I know, and I know you're not supposed to do that as a director, but sometimes I would just straight up be like, hey, you know that thing you did 20 years ago? Do it
again,
please.
It's a parody movie, 100% you can. Yeah. So 20 years ago, he did it, he was in the Spider-Man movies, the new ones. He loves that character. Who plays Spud?
So it has to, I think you let an unknown really shine in that role.
You think?
I think if you're going to give any role to an unknown, that's like...
Austin Butler.
No, but I would not mind Austin Butler as the son.
Austin Butler as the son would be good. Bring back Kramer. Uncancel Kramer.
Michael Richards.
Yeah, uncancel Michael Richards and he can play Spud.
Also, the entire time I was watching Spud on camera, I know they would never do this because why would they? But I want a sequel that was just Spud, but it's just a remake of A Face in the Crowd. Where Spud just is the Andy Griffith part, where he just gets way too rich and evil for no
reason. I gotta look up Polish actors. It's gotta be a Polish man. Because you're just never going to get the large schnoz and heavy eyebrows otherwise. Bradley Cooper could wear a prosthetic. I'd rather... As a Polack, though, you know. I mean, like, putting on a big nose to be a Jew is one thing, but doing it to be a Polish person, that's kind of offensive. Lorne Michaels? Zac Efron?
Honestly, Zac Efron in this role?
Zac Efron, honestly, yeah. You know, if he's Polish, I'll let Zac Efron on. Zac Efron is an underrated actor.
I don't love the movie, but his, like, two-scene role in Josh Radnor's Liberal Arts is brilliant.
Everything he's in, he's good. He just brings a real genuine energy to things I like.
So, basically, a UHF station, which is like a public access station. Public access.
What does it stand for?
Ultra high frequency.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, it's like a public access station, public access stations, for those of you who don't know, are like non-network affiliate, generally localized stations that air locally, publicly made content and shows. And
I desperately want to own one.
I want a public access. I would love to do a public access.
It's up there with me wanting
show.
To be a radio guy. Like, I just see, and apparently they let anyone.
Yes, you just gotta like sign the contract and pay the fine. Like pay the rent.
It's like anyone can be a radio. Like a Vic sent me a clip where she's like, you should be a radio host, and it's this guy just being like, and it's like, welcome back to 45.7 or whatever, you know. But and he's like, just here talking about the numbers. I see them when I wake up, see them when I go to bed. Everywhere I look, there's the numbers. My therapist says don't talk about it on the radio show. I don't believe in them. What are they? Why are they here? Anyway, here's the Foo Fighters. And I would just, God, if I had a radio show, I'm not sure it would last very long before they let me go, but it would become a cult classic across the nation.
Didn't do it.
I never get up really early.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that these things that you want require effort.
Also, it's a dying medium. I think it'd be hard to get into.
Is that what you're trying to do here, is do like a radio thing?
I mean, it feels the same kind of urge.
Okay. So do you? What would your public access show be?
I see it as kind of like a news station, but like none of it's real news.
I have a couple things in my head. Clarify.
I want to hear the things in your head first.
One, it's a Welcome to Night Vale thing where it's like you're set in Lovecraftian world and all of the news is based around that world.
That's a fifth of it.
Or it's like real world, but you're just giving straight up fake news.
I think that it is just straight up fake. I view it as just being straight up fake news. And then, like, every so often, there's, like, a Lovecraftian news story, and then it goes back to the real fake news.
Oh, okay.
It's all, like, plausible news, too. It's like, I'm talking about real people doing things.
I don't know if you can get away with that.
Why can't I say Tim Misney is getting into, like, beekeeping?
But I don't know broadcast-wise, like, if they would broadcast, use some
we're
license
doing,
or...
We're doing an hour-long special on Tim Misney's bees.
That's fair. Mine would essentially be what I'm trying to do for a stage show, but I would adapt it to the public access format, which is the show in its current iteration is called God Hates Harrison, but I'm probably gonna change the title. It's self-improvement by way of like self-challenge, and it's a variety sketch show late night. It's a parody of a late night show, but it like honors it. It's in my head, it's what would happen if Conan O'Brien existed, but the new Conan O'Brien made the show today. Like, if Conan made his show today in our current landscape, like, what's the step further he would
go? If you took... I mean, that's a really strong premise, because being not something I listen to, I'll check it out occasionally. Like, I listen to full episodes, I just listen to many podcasts. But Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend has a certain energy to it,
yes,
that really makes me wonder what would happen if he went back on air. Because I'm like, oh, this is what happens when Conan doesn't have restrictions.
Yeah,
this is Conan without a network telling him what he can do. He's actually fucking insane.
Like, the first game I'm gonna play with an audience member for the live show, and so I would have to transfer it here. But the first game we would play is What Did I Just Snort?
I think
where it could be crushed up B vitamin. It could be Zyrtec. It could be Pixie Stick. It could be anything.
If I'm owning this if I'm owning the station, this is on here. My new station's on here. I also want like an hour long show. It doesn't have a title.
Okay.
There's no credits. It just comes on at a certain point. And it's like a GoPro. And it's like a guy raccooning. You don't see the guy because you're seeing it from his perspective. But he just kind of rummages through like dumpsters, much like a raccoon would. And occasionally comments on what he finds. But it's mostly just kind of heavy breathing and him going, oh, and just pulling things out and stick them in his pockets. I think that'd be a lot of fun. Because then you'd be like, what's he going to pull out? What's he going to pull out?
At the end of every episode... there would be an annual challenge where it can be anything from like be able to pass a third grade Korean test to be able to run 2 miles on a treadmill, or like anything like that. In every episode, there would be like a mini challenge related to that goal and then a big one at the end. And I would get punished or rewarded based on whether I pass or fail.
Well, because when I was talking about like the radio show I wanted to do, which we could translate to the television show, I was talking about just like it's kind of Night Vale, but very Night Vale loose, because this would be radio show to be a live broadcast.
Yeah.
Maybe just real news with Night Vale shit happening throughout it. Like in my own personal life, I think was the what I was running towards. That like the show's pretty normal, but like there's like the background. Like one of the running subplots I have. Like I'm having hookups with someone, and I'm uncertain if she's a green witch. Like we know she's a witch.
Yes.
But we don't know if she's a green witch.
Okay.
And people be like, does she have a cat? I'm like, I think it's a cat. And I'm gonna draw a picture. Call in. Does this look like a cat? And then people will call in and be like, yeah, that's a cat. I'm like, oh, fuck.
And I would want to work with my writing staff where they would come up with stuff while I'm not in the room. And then every once in a while, maybe once a year, I have to host a show that I don't know what's going to happen. Like, I have to figure out. Essentially, the idea of the show is it's what if everything about the show, like the writers, the cast, the audience, the show itself was actively fighting against the host for control.
I want a segment called like, it's a surprise segment called like Fight or Flight.
Yeah.
And like it happens randomly in the show because we need to have the fight or flight response.
Uh-huh.
And like a clown comes out and he's like, and like charges you. And I don't know how you win what happens, but it really is. It leans more into my ideas of the show of like what I want to run this show where there's these weird segments that have no real point, but the point is just to see whether you fight the clown or you flight from the clown.
Another game that isn't masochistic, but I want to play with the audience.
I'm so fascinated by your version. Do you think you could fight a clown if it came down to it?
If I had to, I probably could.
Hypothetical. You come home. You're like, where's my precious pooch, my precious dog? You go to see her in her dog bed. There is a balloon animal dog with a note that says, if you want to see your pooch again, come to the Chuck E. Cheese. Can you rescue your dog?
Yes.
Like something I've always wanted to do with you, but I won't because I know you won't like it, is I want to bring someone and increasingly add like more clown to them because I am utterly just curious at what point, because it's because you aren't afraid of the Joker. It's because the Joker, I'm like, at what point does it become a clown of fear?
The clown in this movie is a clown of fear.
But it's also
like 10 seconds. Because
it's clearly a clown. But I'm like, what is it, the nose? If you put, I just need someone to come up dressed as the Joker and we put different accessories on him until you go like, ah.
You attach a heart rate monitor to me?
Yeah, yeah. And then it's just like, a guy dressed as the Joker and he's just staying in front of you. Dead silence. And
no, that's weird.
And we put like a clown nose on him and we look at you and then we like take it off. We put like a party hat on him. We take off, we put a party hat and a clown nose on him.
You can join the writer's room for my show and that can be a segment
100%
of it.
100%. I want to write for you.
But you would also have to like write other stuff.
I will write other stuff.
Yeah, you can absolutely
I'll write an entire show if I get the chance to have
but
someone.
But this is a thing that I genuinely want to do as a Joker. Live show.
Nothing gets me like something becoming slightly greater every time I look at it.
So we should at some point kind of talk about this movie.
It's devolved into us being like, what if we had a show?
Once we like get past this part of the show and like give general opinions, I'm fine with this being the show, the episode. But he loses the $75,000. The uncle is gonna sell the station that's doing bonkers numbers because turns out when you give like weirdo artist people the chance to create on even a small scale, it kind of does well. Also, this movie kind of argues pro-socialism.
Yeah,
and like
it's good. We missed a slight. So yeah, he gets uncle wins it in a horse race. His aunt convinces him to give him the radio show because he can't hold down a job. It's not doing well. He ends up breaking up with his girlfriend
because he misses her birthday and keeps missing.
And so he's really So he's really sad. He's really sad in the children's show, which wasn't doing well anyways. So he's having a mental breakdown. So then he puts Spud, the janitor that got fired from the big place, who he hired. He's like, you want to be on? Go on there. And turns out this guy's just the best fucking.
He's magnetic. The camera loves him.
He alternates.
The audience loves
it. It goes from being a sad little like public access thing to being like greater than fucking Pee-wee's Playhouse, and everyone's like, Spud!
At least locally.
Spud!
He becomes like a look. The station becomes like the local number one
It's Spud Mania, and it alternates between him being like really inspirational and like just being like, I'm gonna spend 5 minutes digging through the cereal box for the toy. Don't tell your mom. And like you found the marble in the porridge you get to drink from the fire hose. That's a segment on your show. We have a kid, like on one of those accidental things. I start throwing an axe way off target, and we get closer and closer until you stop me.
No, I would stop you immediately. I would stop because I know what the joke was going to be. I would stop you immediately. He wins the deed at a poker game.
Yeah,
right?
He wins the deed in the first poker game.
And
then
he loses $75,000 in the horses. He has a gambling problem.
Yeah, after he becomes.
But he's also really good at it until
Normally. Until he becomes like really big.
Yes.
It's when everything's doing super well because they're like, we need to find a way to get this guy off the air. Who owns the station?
Oh, yeah. RJ Fletcher, who runs the big, like, network news station. They're number one, but locally now the UHF station becomes number one.
Because of Spud Mania.
Yes. And the uncle tries to. But also the secrets of the universe and bloopers and pranks, like,
yeah, they have a lot.
They start giving like the cast
Something I really like is that like in the first broadcast that isn't doing so well, there's like just this large black man who looks kind of like Stanley from The Office.
Sure.
Like a young Stanley, that's my headcanon, just eating a sandwich, and later he shows up as like the blooper, the funny japes guy, and you just see all these people from the radio. He's like, yeah, you can have a television show, and he gives it to them.
The uncle is gonna sell the station to RJ Fletcher, who's gonna turn it into a parking lot because he can't stand not being number one. At some point, Terry, Weird Al's ex-girlfriend, goes to RJ and is like, have some mercy on these kids, like, let them do what they want. Isn't competition good for the community? And he just goes on this tirade about how he doesn't like the community and they're all piles of horse
and because the alien engineer illegally installed a spy camera in his office just because Weird Al's character's like, I wish you could keep an eye on this guy. He's like, gotcha, boss. I'm gonna go install a pretty obvious secret spy camera. He gets it all on recording.
Yes.
They also kidnap. They have to have a telethon to raise enough money because they're gonna buy. The community's gonna buy the station and own it in a stock share. And they end up having to kidnap Spud, who turns out is superhuman because he sees his childhood mop, and it just gives him just the sheer joy. Gives him incredible power over these Italians.
And there's this homeless character who Al treats kindly and RJ does not. And RJ gives him a penny and turns out it was a very valuable penny.
Which I like that you see immediately because he like looks at both sides of it and goes, oh, yes. I like it because he is one of my favorite gags. He's like, do you have change? And he gives him like change. And then he goes, 95. All right, that's a dollar. And he hands him a dollar. There's a lot of really small good gags we can't touch in all of them.
But yes, Uncle Harvey gives Weird Al the chance to buy the station for $75K. 2 days. You have until the end of the day.
Because Big Louie's coming for him.
Yes, at 10 p.m. on Friday. And they host the telethon and Spud gets captured.
And the telethon immediately starts cratering.
They crave Spud. Everyone wants Spud mania.
They literally have like people calling asking if he's single. Everyone wants a piece of that Spud. They're like, hey, Spud, I'm wet. I need you to mop it up.
And Weird Al goes to save him.
That's the Rambo scene.
Yeah, that's the Rambo scene.
That's when the karate guys come in.
Yes.
And save everybody with their karate skills.
They also have a show that's a parody of Japanese game shows.
They have Wheel of Fish where you can win a fish.
Yes. You get your weight in fish.
You get your weight in fish? That was
win your weight in fish.
Oh, of the fish you get.
Yeah. Then there's the broadcast of the news station that the alien from Parlax transfers in.
Effortlessly. Just the coolest. He just sees it like, I have a message for the community. And he just goes.
And he just has an override.
He isn't set up. He just goes, he's in waiting. He goes, doot, doot. And then it's like, they're all slime idiots. And then he goes, doot, doot, and turns it back.
I have a comment at the end, but they get freed. They go to the telethon. They raise $73,000 and like $200, and then powers off. It's 10 p.m. You think that he's about to sign over to get the cash, like to get the money for Big Louie, but then the homeless
Big Louie shows up like a horseman of death.
Yes, in a limo with a license plate that just says Big Louie. Weird Al, the homeless
what
man,
is he?
Gives
because they read him like a crime boss, but he's also like a bookie. And he's a bookie that'll just call you personally on your telephone and be like, you did well today. Yeah. And you go, okay, that was like all the horse races. He's like, your horses did well today. He goes, cool. And hangs up.
I just think that's how, yeah. He's a bookie crime boss.
The only horse racing.
It's a small business bookie company. He has to also, you can't expect your employees to care if you don't
small
care.
Business with limousine. The only horse racing I did because I managed to fight the temptation to bet on horses because I know nothing about horses was Grand Theft Auto. And that ruined me financially in Grand Theft Auto was because I just make a bunch of money and I immediately go to the horse races. And I'd never win. I'd be like, fuck! So I'd have to do like a bunch of more crime, Grand Theft Auto crime, and I'd go right back. And I could buy things with the money I had. No, I was like, I need that fucking horse. I as soon as I added a casino, I was ruined in Grand Theft Auto. It's like when I sports bet in real life, I go, fuck! And I just lose money. I've lost so much money!
But the homeless man gives him $2,000 that he got from the Detroit 1955 double mint penny. It was a very valuable penny. And he bought himself a Rolex, which is a callback to the son gave the dad some like expensive watch, but it wasn't a Rolex. And the dad hates his son.
And then, of course, Pam comes in looking dashing as always to deliver the news that because he loses the station because he didn't pay the licensing fee in time, which is normally a fee if you don't pay it.
But because he saw the broadcast.
Yeah,
because
he's like
the president of the whatever.
The FCC guy's like, I think you're an asshole, so I'm revoking it.
And so Fran Drescher, is just like, you pig. How do you feel, you thoughtless pig? Booyah. And then it's Terry and George and Weird Al get back together, and it's this Gone with the Wind thing, and they kiss, and then roll credits, and that's UHF. This movie is PG-13 because of cartoon violence. Because of excessive blood squirting from cartoon violence.
Yeah, there was that one scene.
I would show this movie to an 8-year-old.
I don't think an 8-year-old should see the raw sexuality of Pam, but that's your discretion.
But this movie doesn't curse. I think they say damn, but like doesn't really curse.
It follows radio rules.
Like, there's no real sex or violence. There's one cartoon violence scene. This is a PG movie. And maybe it's just because we as a society have drifted more and more into just complete degeneracy in media. Hedonistic hedonism.
I mean, the last Minions movie, they said fuck 7 times.
Holy shit.
They went above a banana. Fuck. That got you. I was worried that wasn't going to land. Oh my God, he's falling over. He's on the ground. He's writhing. You okay?
But
I didn't think it would get you that hard. I said it. I'm like, that wasn't a really funny fuck. And then you lost your goddamn mind.
Where are we recording? Okay. Where are my glasses?
I don't know, buddy. I don't know. That really got you.
Where are my...
Holy shit. I don't remember the last time I said something that made you laugh that fucking hard. They're over there. They fell off your head. They're by the bookcase. Holy shit.
But
you alright?
No. Where were we?
We were at the point where I just said the Minions say banana. Fuck. And then you fell out of your chair. Holy, you okay? It wasn't that funny. I was about to follow it up with like a milquetoast bit. How about like, there's some movies that would be made funnier if you just stick like one fuck in there. And I think Minions would be one of them. A lot of DreamWorks movies would be made funnier if you just... Like in Despicable Me, I'm gonna stand by a good children's movie. The first one's like good.
Uh-huh.
Like
yes.
when Vector's got the kids and they go and he escapes into space. If Gru just looked and went fuck, like that would be good. They should allow one swear in kids' movies and not change the rating.
I don't know. What you get one swear in PG-13.
Like if in Shrek when she turns into the ogre after being kissed. Or she stays the ogre? If she's went, fuck! It's good.
See,
so it's for the parents. It's for the adults in the room.
It wasn't.
If in Enchanted, the first time she sees Bruno, she goes, fuck! Like, you know?
It wasn't the fact that the Minions said fuck. It was the fact that you said banana first in the Minion voice. So, like, and also you said it, like, deeper than your normal voice. Very, like, from your diaphragm.
I'm good at comedy.
And it just...
I understand comedic timing.
Truly, I just... It was, you're very good. I think the thing is, when you try, sometimes when you try and be funny, you try to, like, roundabout your fun. You try to, like, come in with, like, a hook.
I'm being funny for me, yeah.
But, like, yeah. But, like, every once in a while, you just fucking straight, just, like, jab right to the, you just get me right in the fucking chin.
Literally fine. Out of a chair and roll around
because I can block these side attacks.
Because normally the side attacks are just me amusing myself, but occasionally I'm like, I'm gonna tell a joke.
Yeah, and just bam, just like knock me on my ass, dude. That destroyed me.
Yeah, I know. I watched it happen.
I'm so sad we don't have
like video.
No, I'm very happy we don't have video because that audio will be brilliant. My head empty. I lost all thoughts. I mean, it's just going to be a short episode, but I'm happy with it. Do you have any final thoughts?
I want a smooch from Pam, yeah. Obviously.
Sure.
Do you think that if I ran a radio show, I could have a segment where I just, like, let loose some apes?
That might just be a, like, station-to-station thing. You might be able to, like, film something and then send them the video.
I want, like, a 30-minute segment where we just watch an orangutan be an orangutan.
Hell yeah.
They're just so fun. You ever see that one where it's, like, he's, like, sobbing really poorly?
Yes.
And the guy's just or they're just, like, driving a golf cart. Orangutans love to drive golf carts. I've seen a lot of those videos. Leaves on heads. Top 10 animal.
Are you, like, filming 2 hours and editing the best half hour, or are you just live streaming, essentially?
This is, like, a live show for half an hour of the live broadcast. An orangutan just enters the set, Everything else stops, and we all just, and I look at the audience, I'm like, look at the monkey. And then we just look at the monkey for half an hour, see what it does.
We would, yeah. Let's hope we wouldn't have a nope situation.
It'd be fine.
And on that note, do you want to do socials?
Yeah, I'll do socials. If you want to send me Italian Jersey women, don't send me that e-girl. I want to see the Jersey e-girl. I have nothing against her. She seems very nice, and I really, what I've seen for her, I've enjoyed. I just, she breaks that illusion for me that I don't like to imagine that most people in New Jersey know what a Twitch, what Twitch is.
Sure.
So if you want to send me some good analog Italian New Jersey women, you can find me on Instagram at Midwest_magician, where I post things. Neither of those things, but maybe you send them to me. I'll share them for all my followers to enjoy. You can find the show on Two Men Movie Podcast on Instagram, on most things, except for YouTube. Which is Two Men and a Movie. If you want to watch, we don't have any video content, but okay, maybe I'll post a video of a monkey. I don't know. We'll see. If you want to email us ideas for our television shows, you can send that to twomenmoviepodcast@gmail.com.
You can find me on Instagram, Lemonade, TikTok. I need to start posting more on Threads. I need to start posting anything on Threads. Actually, don't need to start anything. Social media is a hellscape.
I think I'm going to change my social media handle to Jorknit for Jersey.
Hell yeah. But that's harrisonpoole.com. HARRISONPOOLEDOTCOM. HarrisonPoole.com. Thank you so much to Tristan Hostetter for our theme music. Thank you guys for listening.
Thanks to the state of New Jersey for its wonderful women.
I hope you enjoy just this classic episode of Two Men in a Movie. Get ready for the next couple months. It's going to be real fun. And then we're going to close out the year with some theme stuff. But anyway,
and a game of Russian roulette.
Hell yeah.
One of us will die.
All right. Thank you so much for listening. Bye.
Kisses.
This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.